Let us pray. Lord Jesus, be present and pour out the Holy Spirit upon us as we're gathered together in worship. Touch our hearts and our minds with your grace and your truth, that we might be transformed into the whole life disciples for the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome today to the fifth week of our deep dive preaching series on Christ Church's new vision, which is we desire to form deeply committed whole life disciples of Jesus for the world by learning to be with, become like, and live like Jesus. And so today in this series, we are transitioning from the become like life to the live like Jesus life, which obviously begs the question, how did Jesus live in the world? Well, the Gospels describe Jesus pouring his life into others, always, into the disciples as he led them, into his enemies as he wrestled with them about the true nature of God. He poured himself into the sick and the marginalized, the captive and the crippled, the faithful and the faithless. In each instance in the Gospels, we see Jesus revealing God's unquenchable and unfathomable love for humanity. And that's the bottom line of the Gospel stories, right? God's limitless and incomprehensible love for humanity. As John wrote in his Gospel, chapter 3, 16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Did you hear that? God so loved the world that he did the unthinkable. He became one of us, incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? In order to fully and completely reveal the love of God. And we are being called as the people of God to love like Jesus, so that we can live like Jesus. It really is that simple. It's just not that easy, at least for me. Why? Because if I'm honest, and I know this is going to sound horrible, but here we go. If I am honest, I have more contempt for humanity than love. And it's true. Now, for those of you who are new to Christ Church, you have now discovered what everybody else knows. I am a horrible priest. Horrible. Terrible. Honest, yes. Horrible, though. Because I've just admitted to you all, and this is not some sort of shtick for a sermon, that I have more contempt for humanity than love. Why? Because I look at the atrocities and the injustices of our world on a global scale and a local scale. I looked at the bombed out wreckage of Ukraine and Syria, the refugees of the world fleeing from violence, war, starvation, political oppression and corruption. I watched the people of Somalia and Ethiopia and southern Sudan with one of the greatest famines of our time, and people starving, and they can't even get the world's attention. We're witnessing still more people dying of a pandemic, even though there are enough vaccines and there are simple measures we can take to protect the most vulnerable among us, but somehow they've become weaponized and politicized. And I could go on and on with these disasters, these injustices, and these atrocities that are being carried out in the world. And who's carrying them out, Stephen? We are. It's us. Humanity. You can't pin all this stuff on God like some people like to do and wash their hands of it. All of this is on us. So when I think of humanity, I must admit that my heart is not filled with unquenchable and unfathomable love like God's heart. But rather, I look at humanity with a certain level of disdain. And if I'm going to be honest with that, it's impossible, therefore, for me to authentically live like Jesus because I don't love like Jesus. That tender, self-giving, long-suffering, inexhaustible love for humanity, which culminated on the cross. The symbol, the ultimate symbol of God's love. When Jesus climbed up on that cross, it wasn't only for the nice, faithful people, but also for the unfaithful. He climbed up there for the criminal on his left who repented, and also the criminal on his right that cursed him. He climbed up there for all the women at the foot of the cross weeping, and also for the Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross. He climbed up there for the innocent people that were mowed down in Buffalo, New York last Saturday. 10 died just because of the color of their skin. But get this, he also climbed up there for the gunmen. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, while we were still hostile to him, Christ died for us." Imagine that. I can hardly wrap my head around it. If I truly want to live as Jesus lives, I'm going to have to love as Jesus loves. And y'all already know my problem about that, because I look at humanity and my stomach turns. We are capable of the most horrific ugliness. And when we see it, do you know what it spurns in us? Righteous indignation, right? Righteous indignation. And that righteous indignation, because of what they're doing, gives birth to contempt for humanity. And then it's just an easy slide into cynicism, being jaded, and that leads us right to hopeless resignation. Because deep down inside, we know that we can't change humanity. Why? Because we cannot change ourselves. If all of that is true, and I know it is for me, and maybe it is for you too, then there's only one thing for us to do if we desire to even begin to live like Jesus. There's only one thing we can do, and that is to fall on our faces and earnestly confess and repent of our hardness of heart. Confess and repent of our contempt for humanity. Confess and repent of our complicit involvement in the degradation of the world by our scorn and derision of one another. And don't look so shocked saying, "Who, me?" Yes, you. There's no one in this room who is innocent. Not one of us. We have all enjoyed all too often looking down our noses at others saying, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like those people." We have all turned a blind eye to human suffering. We have all looked upon humanity shaking our heads in disgust, not even realizing that we're looking in a mirror at ourselves. We are humanity. So if you feel some conviction right now, and I hope you do, join me in a prayer of confession and repentance, because that is all we can do as the people of God. And it's coming up on the screen. Please pray with me. We'll take a moment. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have not loved my neighbor as myself. I have looked down upon your beloved humanity, the crown of your creation, with disdain and contempt. I repent, Lord Jesus, and I seek to turn from my sin by asking for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pour your love into my heart through the Holy Spirit, which you have given to each of us. Let our hearts of stone be replaced with your heart of flesh, that we might love as you love, that we might see each other and humanity as you see us, your beloved, your precious ones, your children. Let our hearts break like your heart in the face of human suffering and sin. Let us stand with you as you stand for those who have been trampled down and beaten down by our callousness and hatred. Come, Holy Spirit, empower us to love as Jesus loves, so that we can live as Jesus lives. Amen. Well done, people of God. Well done. But it cannot end there. It cannot just end with our confession and repentance. There must be amendment of life. We must act upon our repentance. And regardless how you feel, we must act. Act as if our hearts are overflowing with love for humanity. Act as if the parade of suffering is breaking our hearts. Act as if it is our beloved children who we see on TV fleeing as refugees or dying of starvation or living on our street corners or fighting to be seen and loved in a world that says you are unlovable because of the color of your skin or who you love or how you see yourself. Or because you're addicted or have mental illness, or you have been broken and fractured by life, or you're just plain poor. We must act as if the perpetrators of violence and unbridled greed in the world are our own children who have gone astray, and our hearts yearn for them to repent and return, just like the prodigal son. We must act as if we are living extensions of God's divine loving kindness to the world. In other words, let us live like Jesus. Can I have an amen? But let us not kid ourselves, right? Let's not do that. Because we're all going to walk out of here today, and some of you are going to say, you know, that was a pretty good sermon. You know, that was okay. I mean, for Terry, it was all right. But unfortunately, most likely, nothing is going to change for us Monday morning. We're just going to go back to what we do and what we've always done. Why? Because human suffering is so overwhelming and daunting. And as Joseph said to me, listen, I got two kids. I don't have a square to spare, right? I don't have time. I got my own suffering. I can't take on human suffering. It is so daunting and overwhelming that we feel powerless in our own selves and our own lives to have any quantifiable impact. So what do? We just ignore it. We flip the channel. We watch TikToks. And listen, I get it. I feel the weight of this call as well, and my personal inability to adequately respond in any way. But here's the good news. It is not all resting on your shoulders. This Christian life is not an individual sport. It is a team sport. And Paul says that we are part of the body of Christ. We are the church. We are not alone in this call. But we are inextricably linked together. And together, as the body of Christ, we can act. We can love. We can make a difference. And let me be clear, this is not some sort of cop-out, right? To falsely alleviate us of our responsibility to act or our guilt in not acting. This is the simple truth. Together, we can do more. Together, we can make a difference. For example, Christ Church. 10% of all the money that comes into Christ Church, we send back out to our outreach partners, over $150,000 a year. And that's on top of all the volunteers, the people sitting next to you who give their time. And we do that with selected outreach partners who do ministry in the community and across the world. Ministry, which reveals and exhibits God's unwavering and unquenchable love for humanity. Ministry that we are not equipped to do here in the local church. We just don't have the infrastructure. And let's be clear for the cynics out there. Giving your money is not a cop-out. Why? Because money represents our lives, right? It represents our time, our work, our sweat, our heart. That's what it represents. And if you want to know what's important to someone, I mean, what's really important, not actually what they tell you, but what really is, follow the money. Follow the money. Jesus says, where their treasure is, their heart will be also. Christ Church partners with these ministries as extensions of our love for humanity. We partner with these ministries because we can't do on a local level what they do. And we must not forget what our purpose is as a church. Our primary purpose, first and foremost, the thing that we do that no other organization on this whole planet does. And that is to worship the living God in spirit and truth. That is job number one for the church. And job number two, the second purpose of the church, is to form deeply committed whole life disciples of Jesus for the world. And it is out of those two primary purposes that we're equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be extensions of God's extraordinary loving kindness of humanity, which we do in our individual lives and our everyday lives. And we must do together. Partnering with parachurch and humanitarian organizations which are actually on the front lines addressing human suffering. For example, Christ Church partners with Providence Network, a local ministry which provides a 2-year transitional housing program for those experiencing homelessness because of poverty, addiction, domestic violence. And these folks, they live with the staff full-time in group residences where they find healing, counseling, acceptance, and love in Christian community. And then they are coached, they are equipped, and resourced to live new lives free of addiction. and violence and financial insecurity. And after 2 years, they could continue on the program, living in apartment housing sponsored by the resources of Providence Network. We could never do all of that on our own. Could we, Curtis? I don't think so. But that is your ministry. That is our ministry together. Because we are actually part of something bigger than ourselves, bigger than Christ's church. We are part of the body of Christ, which with all its diversity and complexity at this time in 2022 spans the globe, crossing national boundaries, ethnic boundaries, political, economic, religious boundaries. And we're also part of the body of Christ, the church, over time. This has been going on for 2,000 years. It didn't start with us, and it's not going to end with us. 2,000 years. And in this place, at this time in our lives are like a blink on the scale. We actually get to participate in this long game of God's redemption of humanity. Right now, in this place. And here's the deal. When we die, and you are going to die, there are others sitting right there. I see them right there. They will take on the banner after us. I see them right there too. They're going to take on the banner after us. They're going to carry the standard forth on our behalf. And then they will pass it on to the next generation and the next generation until Jesus comes again. He'll be riding on the clouds, glorious and triumphant, and we will be raised from our graves by the trumpet blast in our resurrected bodies, and we will see Jesus face to face. And he will see us not as strangers, but as his friends, and he will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servants. For when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me." And we'll turn to Jesus and say, "Oh, hold on, Jesus. When was that? When did we see you naked and clothe you? Or hungry and feed you? Or in prison or a stranger?" And he'll say, "When you did it for the least of those among you, you did it for me." Dear people of God, do not let your hearts grow cold. Do not slip into cynicism and jadedness and contempt for humanity. Jesus died for humanity because of his unquenchable love and obedience to the Father. Let us join him. Let us ask for the Holy Spirit to pour the love of Jesus into our hearts so that we might love like Jesus, so we can live like Jesus. Resist the temptation to scorn and disdain for one another. Amen.